May the words of my lips and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable to our Lord and Redeemer, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Steve. I am part of the clergy team here. I'm also a prison chaplain at Earlstoke. And up until Christmas, I was covering there for the vacancy of the full-time chaplain. I'm pleased to say that we've now appointed one, which means hopefully as this year continues and I drop out of some of what I was doing at Earlstoke, you'll see me a little bit more often. Certainly, that's my hope. Right, title of this morning's sermon is Hope is Here, Helpless but Not Hopeless. By my reckoning, I think this is the fifth sermon in the series, but it depends whether you take Keith's sermon on the Feast of Epiphany as being the first one or the one before. But I reckon the fifth. Several things have struck me as I've listened to previous sermons. First, if Keith is a sober realist, my epiphany moment this year is that makes me a sober, panicky pessimist. Certainly a new thought, and I have to say in some respects, accurate way of seeing myself. Secondly, unlike the sociologist mentioned in Richard's sermon, I cannot, by sheer dedication of self-will, sort my life quests and problems out. Hope is not obsolete to me. Without it, I would be in a truly dark place. Third, in my life journey, when I have felt hopeless, I have always walked with someone. And on that journey through the dark places, they have generally had more hope than I had. Fourth, hope is not a constant factor in my life. It waxes and wanes, particularly in the difficult times. I'm so excited I didn't turn the microphone on. Sorry. So fourthly, oh, that sounds better, doesn't it? Fourthly, hope is not a constant factor in my life. It waxes and wanes, particularly in the harder times. Finally, being a Christian does not mean that my life is plain sailing, nor is it traversed with blind optimism. But my hope in Christ is my sure storm anchor that keeps me afloat as occasionally the world seems to be doing its best to sink me. So how to pull that lot back in the next 10 minutes or so? It's night time. A man is locked in a small, dimly lit room. The air is hot and stale. He craves fresh air. The 50mm steel armoured door is securely locked, as is the corridor door beyond it, and the compound gate beyond that. The out-of-reach, small, barred window only lets in light that keeps him awake. That is if he could get to sleep anyway. He is helpless, panicky, and he cannot get out. The helpless, panicky man has been found guilty, and in the morning the judge will sentence him for anything between 20 years and life. There's nothing he can do. It is too late. His life hopes are cancelled. His quest for the good life is over. No riches, no fame other than the infamous kind. No children, strained relationships, no holidays, no pension, no retirement plans. Only a grey, monotonous life stretches out in front of him with no control over even the light switch. Life is over. He is going to join the walking dead with a number instead of a name. It's hopeless. In the early hours of that long, dreadful night, he climbs out of bed and in desperation gets to his knees and prays, "If you are real, God, get me out." He has in mind escape, the judge quashing the verdict, a lenient sentence, and so on. Instead, the room lights up. He is filled with an incredible sense of warmth, peace, and love, and spends the rest of that night praising God. That man is still helpless in the morning, still sentenced to decades in prison, still facing all that life can throw at him. But he does so filled with peace, hope, and tells anyone who will listen to him about the God of peace who gave him hope. In over a decade as a prison chaplain, I've heard variations on that testimony. As a chaplain, I have always got involved after God has started his work in them. I and other Christians are the ones who explain this amazing experience to them and walk with them as they start to walk after Yahweh, our God. God's hope was already there. All we need to do is join in the work God has started. My chaplain's rule is never say no to anybody who wants to come to something. Never stop anybody joining a group. Always add them to the list to make them legit. And by so doing so, maybe we've added a name to the book of life. Life's prison sentences come to us in all shapes and sizes. Ill health, relationships breaking up, financial insecurity, redundancy, accident, cultural views being challenged, political power being lost, loss of mobility. And you personally can add to that list your own sentences. All of us, from time to time, face these situations. Life-changing, quest-cancelling futures. And God is at work amongst them. We are called to go out amongst these folk and join in what God is already doing, to explain their experiences to them and point them towards God. Then to walk with them. And you know, the great thing is that when you're walking with them, they walk with you through your life experiences. I love the story of Ananias that we've just heard. Ananias, for me, has the greatest bit part in the Bible. My prayer is that I will hear God clearly enough to lay hands on the one person who's going to change the world, to become a great for God. Paul has been blinded by the bright light of Jesus. We're not told how he felt, but my guess is that he felt helpless. Just take a moment to think about his situation. Just take a moment to think. He's no longer a self-reliant leader, no longer able to earn a living, no longer able to look after himself, no longer sure of his cultural belief system. Nothing makes sense anymore. His friends suddenly look like the enemy. His enemies look like friends. And everything he held as being right now seems wrong. Helpless and maybe hopeless. God has been at work on Paul long before Ananias lays hands on him. But Paul needs Ananias and then the company of Christian disciples to make sense of the experience and to become a Christian great. Hope is already there in many situations. But what about the situation where we're the ones facing life quest cancelling situations? Often there is no God experience to go with it. So these great testimonies just add to our feeling of helplessness and our fading, if not absent, hopefulness. The glass is neither half full nor half empty. It's just empty. Sober reality. 7 years ago, following a flight home from holiday, I was admitted to hospital having suffered a stroke. As I said at the beginning, despite outward appearances internally, I'm a sober, panicky pessimist, and the consultants did nothing to help me that day. The diagnosis was not good. Very high blood pressure, overweight, unfit, overstressed, borderline diabetic, high cholesterol. Oh, and Mr. Ibbotson, did you know you've only got one kidney? Oh, great. And it was said in a way that he wanted to know whether or not I'd actually left it while out shopping somewhere. You know, sort of, you know, Mr. Ibbotson, where did you lose your kidney? Oh, I left it in Sainsbury's. Oh, what a silly chap. Much of it I was, and I am still unable to do anything about. Helpless, and to be honest, for a time, hopeless. But all sorts of folks started to walk with me as I started to recover. They had more faith than I had. Belief that I could again resume a new normal life. A couple of weeks after my stroke, I was well enough to appreciate just how ill I was. My brain was so addled that when I was trying to buy a newspaper, I could not add up the coins in my hand and had to hold out my hands to the cashier to take what was needed. Mentally, I plunged into despair. Walking home, I met a neighbour who said I looked a little under or down. I think understatement of the year, I think I was a mobile black cloud at the time. I can't remember exactly what I said to him, but it will have been very negative. And he responded, "The sky is blue, the sun is shining, the birds are singing. You are alive, enjoy today." And there started the fight back. I am eternally grateful to that man. Because I hit the low 1/4 of an hour, and at the end of the 1/4 of an hour, I'd started to fight. And I was refilled with hope. The sky is blue. Sun is shining. Birds are singing. You are alive. Enjoy. Words I have repeated to so many people in so many desperate situations. Other folk at St. James washed over me and literally walked me back to health. To them and my wife, I'm also eternally grateful. One of those folk was Damien Watson, whose dream was for there to be a church men's group. I think it was Keith talked about him. Certainly I have talked about him and others have talked about him. Sometime after my stroke, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And I, with others, walked with him through his illness. My discussions with Damien were deadly serious, being literally discussions about eternal life and eternal death. Have we done enough? Have we heard it right? Could we have done more? Have we done something wrong to deserve this? Have we failed because we doubt? And hope seems just so hard to cling on to. This is where you discover that blind, optimistic faith is worthless, as it just vanishes under the tidal wave of life's troubles. The Bible showed us that we were not the first to question our hope in God. If you go to 1 Kings 19, Elijah, having defeated the false prophets, flees into the desert from Jezebel. God finds him, feeds him, restores him, and eventually asks Elijah, "What are you doing here?" and then sends him back out to serve him. The night before Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus questions if he really, really must, asks the question, if he really must go through with the suffering, is there not another way? Peter denies Christ 3 times and is accepted back. We were not the first God followers to struggle with doubt, and we will not be the last. We are human. God loves us as we are and has compassion on us in our distress. Our answer was to love God, love people, and to do something about it. That we have done. And on that our hope is anchored. Having done all, we stand together in Christ's faith. I would be a liar to say it was easy to stand helpless before life events and to stay hopeful. But on that last day, what else have we but our hope in Christ? Finally, I loathe the Anglican liturgy for the sick. It sounds to me like the pronouncement of a death sentence with about as much hope. My deal with God was that I would walk with Damien for as long as he needed me. But I needed a blessing that I could say with integrity and gave hope. And these are the words that God gave me. Our shared hope is that one day we will be citizens of the New Jerusalem, where our tears will be dried, our wounds healed, our broken hearts mended, and we will dance for joy before our God Yahweh with friends past, present and future. Today we pray for some of that future peace, joy and healing. Amen. Hope is here. We may be helpless, but we're not hopeless. Walk with folk. God's hope has gone before you. To God goes the glory. Walk with folk. God's hope comes with you to them. To God goes the glory. To see God's hope at work, walk with people. Amen.